Hello and welcome everyone. I am so excited about today because I have a very, very, very special guest, Sarah Jenks. Sarah Jenks is a shining example of changing your life from the inside out. Through her journey with weight and body image issues, she's completely transformed her relationship with herself and her life. And as a result, she has inspired women around the world to love themselves and their lives with her Live More, Weigh Less program. And it is a joy and an honor to have her here with us. Welcome, Sarah.
Oh, Carrie, thank you so much for having me. I can't tell you how excited I am to
I've been so looking forward to the women in your community. Yeah, well, I think everyone, men and women, will get something from this. So, because we're going to be talking a lot about emotional eating, and because that's your wheelhouse, right? That's one of your specialties.
It is.
Is helping
people. That is it.
And actually, you know, both men and women have, you know, that's a thing for them. So I want to help everybody today. But yes, most of the people listening are women. So, you know, you have an amazing story, and I was going to share a little bit in like what I was going to talk about as I introduced you, but it's so personal that I really want you to share a bit about your journey, what you do, and why you share your message. So can you share your journey in your own words? Because it's going to be so much more awesome coming from you.
Of course, I'd love to. Of course not. So I started feeling bad about my body probably when I was around like 9 or 10 years old. And I just noticed that I was different than everyone else. I was a chubby kid, not like super chubby, but sort of normal chubby, you know, which I now totally understand is completely normal. Mm-hmm. And I was struggling to make friends, and I was like being put in the back row of, you know, my dance recitals. And so I really wanted to lose weight. And so I went to Weight Watchers at 10.
Yeah. Wow.
And
what?
Yeah. Crazy. And so it was really hard for me. It was just like the first thing that made me feel like there was something wrong with me. And what happened was I just had this idea that I think a lot of us have, that my life will be totally different when I lose weight. You know, I will get a boyfriend and I'll get the lead in the school play, and all I have to do is lose 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but my issue was that I could never stick to a diet because for many reasons that we'll get into today. And so my perfect life always felt 15 pounds away. And I was missing this magical thing that everyone else seemed to have, which was called willpower.
That's what you thought you were missing.
That's what I thought I was missing.
Right. Exactly. It's not like you were missing it. Because it's just that was your perception. You're going to will yourself different.
Exactly. So this pattern went on for, you know, years and years and years until I had one of the worst binges of my life. And I had eaten an entire bag of Dove Chocolate Promises in the supply closet of my ad agency, and I had thrown away like the last 5 pieces and thought that was a really big win. And then about 10 minutes later, I went and I fished them out of the trash to finish the bag. In that moment, I was just like, ooh, this is really not working. I have a problem and I need to handle it. And I've been trying to diet my problems away for you know, a decade and a half, and I needed to try something else. So I gave up dieting. I gave up losing weight. And when I just literally, I had put 80% of my attention on losing weight. And so when that was gone, I looked around and realized that my life was really lame. And I started, you know, fixing up my life and, you know, started reading more spiritual books and meditating. I started going to dance class again. I started thinking about quitting my job, you know, just did all these things. And then all of a sudden, I wasn't binging anymore. And I was losing weight for the first time in my life. And at that point, I didn't even really care because I finally felt the way I thought I was going to feel when I was thin. And I realized I just needed to work in this because I just been through so much pain. I just didn't realize how simple the solution actually is.
Mm-hmm. I love your story so much on so many levels, and there are about a million things I want to talk to you about right now. So,
awesome.
Because we touched on so many things. So first of all, not everyone listening to this may even be listening because of weight issues, right? Because there's so much in here about how to manifest happiness from your story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I always talk about, is happiness is an inside job, and this idea that we always think that when we are X, Y, and Z and always working to get that, even if it's like a spiritual growth thing. I mean, so many people try to become a better person so that they can be worthy of having clients or heal people or whatever it is they want to do. People are always
putting this
thing in front of them and in the future. So there's so much about manifesting I want to talk about with you. And also, because the majority of people listening to this are empaths, meaning that we feel other people's feelings, and so much of how empaths deal with that is through their body image, their body issues, either being or feeling overweight or underweight. And there's a couple of reasons for that, because we have these intuitive vehicles that are our bodies that are picking up all of this energy and information from other people, and we want to create some buffers and some boundaries somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we deal with it. And so when you talk about emotional eating, it's also spiritual eating. You know, like people, it's so much about this beautiful vehicle of our soul that we distance ourselves from and are afraid of in some ways, because it can be so painful to be an energetic being on this planet. So these are like the many, many things that I want to discuss with you, because your journey is such, this is why I said you're a shining example of happiness being an inside job and really truly living that. Because you did it. You realized how to do that. You realized, first of all, how to make your body your friend, like to really see your body as something and someone of a beautiful spiritual vehicle, and have honoring and respecting your body for that, which is something that it's so important to be a spiritual being, having a human experience, to honor the human flesh that we have.
Exactly.
And I love that you've done that. But also this this present moment happiness that you've learned how to really enjoy and experience, and not really putting that in the future. So can you describe what emotional eating is in your terms, like what that is for you, what that means?
Yes. So emotional eating is when, I mean, most simply, it's when we eat when we're not hungry. So anytime we eat and we're not hungry, we're eating emotionally, because we're eating not for the benefit of our body being nourished, but for the benefit of entertainment, connection, stress relief, you know.
All those other
boredom,
things.
All the things. You know, right. And I'd love to go straight into why this happens, and it touches to what you were just talking about. And it's because we get into this pattern of waiting on the weight. And you can substitute weight for anything, you know, waiting on money, right? Waiting on finding a boyfriend, or waiting on getting married, or waiting to have children, or waiting for all of these other things, waiting to be more spiritually enlightened. And what can happen when we're waiting, we have this belief that something outside of us will just click. And it will sort of be like the domino effect to make everything else fall into place. Mm-hmm. And like all of your life's happiness is just waiting there in the wing for you to lose 20 pounds and they're all going to come flooding in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not how it works. And so the work that I teach in Live More, Weigh Less, and it's very deliberately called Live More, Weigh Less, not Weigh Less, Live More, is
what
because...
Did I say it backwards?
No, you didn't. You said it right.
I was saying that's how it is.
Weigh Less to Live More.
Yeah.
And it's to like cut to the chase,
mm-hmm.
and really understand that, you know, just like you're teaching, we need to create our own happiness from the inside and really decide what that is. And there's like the whole thing with the soul that I'd love to get into with you, because, you know, could I just go there?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, please. I'm like,
okay,
I'm
cool.
Chomping at the bit here.
Okay, great. So this has been sort of the journey in my work. So when I first started coaching women on emotional eating, I thought that, and this has to do with men too, but I've only worked with women, is I thought that they were holding back in their lives because of their weight. Like they were embarrassed by how they looked, and so they didn't want to put themselves out there in certain ways. But when I got in there and I really started going through the work and I started coaching, you know, hundreds and hundreds of women, mm-hmm. what I realized is that the real reason they don't want to go after what they want is because they're worried about pissing someone off. Whether it's their, right? Whether it's their parents or their partner or their friends, they don't want to break free from the tribe that they're in.
Whoa.
And right. And so
it's blowing my mind.
right. And so what happens, and that's a painful thing to recognize.
It is. And it makes sense now that you talk about it and
right?
all the readings I've done, I've not seen this aspect. So I love having my mind blown by you. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And so what happens is we then hold on to the weight as the excuse. Because it's like more of a fixable thing. Because when we get real with like, oh, so what I really want, what my soul really wants, maybe isn't what my husband wants. And if I really claim what my soul is desiring, then that could, you know, have my marriage fall apart. You know, that could shift the way everything everyone's ever thought about me, and I'm just not even going to go there, so I'm just like going to eat.
Sarah?
And then the cycle, I know this is crazy, right? And the
wait, there's more? This is amazing.
And then the cycle we get in with emotional eaters is because we're not living a life in alignment with our soul, we eat to feel better. Because living a life not in alignment with our soul hurts a lot.
Yes, this makes so much. I'm amazed that in all of my readings that I've done, that this aspect of weight hasn't come through. So I'm so celebrating this. This insight that you have is so amazing that you can offer this to people. And it makes so much sense with basically everything I've seen on a reading soul contracts, because if you look at even on a chakra level, the root chakra is associated with tribe, family, and fitting in. And it's our most fundamental instinct. And when I teach intuition, which is my passion, there's an individuation process that has to happen for people to become intuitive beings. Older souls tend to get less affirmation and approval from outside because we need to learn how to approve of ourselves, and we need to learn how to think as an individual and be an individual because the soul longs for uniqueness. But the physical body, on the most basic level, in our chakras longs for fitting in. So these two are in contrast with one another. And when I read a person energetically, it's their second chakra that's eating and addictive eating or any kind of addictions or escapism. So we're moving from our base chakra, our foundation chakra, our root chakra, which is tribe and family, to that second chakra, which wants to enjoy yourself and feel comfortable in this body, being a sensual, happy, emotional being. And that's scary. And that's when people get stuck, is moving from that first to the second chakra. So that's energetically where people get caught. So it makes so much sense now. You actually helped me figure out the chakra system even more right now. With
awesome.
That.
I mean, I love that. I had never heard that parallel. I mean, it's so perfect. And just think about like where a lot of women hold on to extra weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is that's usually where, and then of course after that we have our solar plexus, which is all about personal power. So you have to really, for you to step into your personal power, you have to move through that second chakra of living more, of enjoying your life. So it makes perfect sense that the way that you kind of kicked that addiction was through your second chakra, which is all about having fun and enjoying yourself and loving yourself and emotionally connecting with people. So what I've found, and I'm curious how I love that you come from such a different perspective, and we both wound up at the soul, right? The soul level.
I know. I love it.
But what I found with empaths is that, first of all, I want to talk about the overeating first, but I do want to later talk about how undereating or undernourishing or being maybe too thin plays into this as well. But what I found with empaths is that is their boundary between so you'll eat because you're stuffing your feelings, because you're afraid of expressing yourself and being unique and going against the tribe. So in a way that's a parallel there, right? I never put it in those terms of like they're afraid of really pissing people off or losing people or that. But it makes so much sense. But there's that sense that they're whatever it is, it's some kind of boundary. It's some kind of hiding between like what you're really feeling, whether it's an intuitive sense or an emotional sense, and other people. It's still a protection. You're protecting yourself from the tribe that way as well. And
exactly.
So it's so important that empaths learn how to be in the second chakra and find their way to it without having to do this with food. So what were some steps that were helpful for you that people can take to really, really break that cycle and start enjoying themselves without reaching for the dove's promise or whatever? What is it that you can do to, because I want you to talk about the second chakra, and then maybe I can also see how that is energetically as well. So what is it that you can do for that?
So I think the first step is to imagine yourself at, you know, in your ideal body, whatever that vision is you have for yourself, and to ask yourself, however you like to do visions, you know, what am I wearing? What am I doing? How do I feel? What does my life look like? How am I imagining who I am in the body? Because what we forget is that our body is actually separate than the person inside. I saw this really great quote the other day that said, wouldn't it be a shame if the wrapper was more exciting than the meat inside of it?
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. And so,
or the tofu in my case, but yeah.
Or the tofu. Exactly. And so to identify all those things and to write out a list, and then to go do those things
mm.
now in your body that you have yeah. right now. Because the absence of those things is what is causing you to overeat. And what I have done in my work is that I've broken what women usually need to focus on, all these things that are missing, all these things we think are going to be different when we are, like, quote-unquote, thinner, have our ideal body. Mm-hmm. And there's six really key steps that I've seen. And I lay them all out in my video training program that's totally free. That, Carrie, you'll give them the link to that below,
yes,
right?
Yes,
okay, cool.
I can't hardly wait to give them the link.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. But the first step that I want to give you guys, just so you can really start making a change right now, is this is the number one thing that I find is missing for people, and that is fun. And that's what we've been alluding to in the second chakra. There's,
oh, fun,
when
fun,
we
fun.
Become adults, like, we just don't have any fun anymore. And, mm-hmm. and, but we need fun. It's a necessity. It's like air, water, shelter, food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is a necessity. And so what happens is that because we're not getting the necessity, our, like, whole beings will look for fun in the cheapest, easiest, most accessible way possible, mm-hmm. which is, like, all the sugar in our pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love for you to just think of three things to do for fun. You know, for me, it's going for a walk and talking to a friend, or reading a book at a cafe, or buying fresh flowers. It can be so simple
mm-hmm.
just to, and it goes way deeper than this, obviously, but this is just like the best way to get started. And I can't mm-hmm. even tell you, it sounds so simple and it is so profound.
It is profound. People don't understand
yeah.
that fun is like a necessity. Fun is how we're hardwired. This is why it's so important for us to start out with a childhood where we play. Now, I know a lot of people don't start out with childhoods where we play, and that's part of
yeah.
how we get involved with, you know, especially the older souls who are listening here, right? Because my people, most of my people are working on this past of the old soul, where we tend to be, again, like maybe not have the affirmation or approval or nurturing for our individuality growing up, because
yeah.
we have to foster it ourselves. And you know, even with business, so many people, they want to create a business before they have a passion. Like, they want to be self-employed, and their guides usually say, you need to be creative first. We don't want you to be a mercenary. We want you to enjoy what you're doing and
yeah.
do it because it's your soul's purpose, which should be enjoyable. And this is why our energetic bodies, this is why our second chakra, like right there after the roots, is all about fun, pleasure, sensuality, enjoyment,
mm.
emotional connection, which, of course, if people are creating a buffer between themselves and other people, if you are afraid to be yourself and be a unique individual, you are not going to have the emotional intimacy that you crave. And it has nothing to do with the way you look. You think it is, but you really, it's not, that's not what attracts people to people on a deep nourishing level. And if anyone wants to be
absolutely.
Attracted to their soulmate, if you really want to love your soulmate for how they look and vice versa, of course you need to be physically attracted to them, but if it's all just surface, good luck with that. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, it's so
not gonna go over well.
It's so essential. Play, have fun. And by the way, anyone who wants to know, the color associated with the second chakra is orange, which is such a big, happy, fun color anyway. So socializing, having fun. And I love that that's just a foundation of what you teach. And also,
yeah.
really how you did this and how you do this is very much manifesting 101. So this applies whether it's about weight. So I'm sure you've been applying this to other aspects of your, right? Your whole life improved because
yes.
you were focused on. So this is something that it's not just about, well, it's actually secondary. That's why you say live more, weigh less, because it's secondary. It's really fundamentals in learning how to manifest and create. And guess what chakra is associated with that creating? It's that second chakra. It has to do with fun. That's why
awesome.
Kids are creative. Kids use their imaginations. Kids play. Kids have fun. Because this is how we co-create our reality. Your body does not know the difference between your memory, imagination, and reality. So as you are imagining your life with feeling, that's the important part. It's your emotions that draw circumstances and people to you. So if you're just wanting to be thin-er for the sake of looking a certain way and you are not emotionally in love with your life is going to feel the same. And like you said,
yeah,
like
it's
the diet, like, you know, how many people lose weight, gain weight, lose weight, gain weight, because they're not a vibrational match emotionally for the weight that they're wanting to be. It's like you have to be an emotional, vibrational match for the life that you want to create, and you're going to keep recreating the body image that is reflecting your which is inside of you. Would you say you've seen that in experience?
Completely. Completely. And the other thing too is that you know, something I had to get really comfortable with as a woman is that our bodies change all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's normal. It's actually mm-hmm. a very masculine concept to believe that we can lose weight and stay there for our whole mm-hmm. lives. But everything about being a woman, the fact that we're connected to the tides and our moon
mm-hmm.
cycle and having children, I mean, everything mm-hmm. is expand and contract and rise and fall and in and out
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
aging. And so, you know, my real goal is for everyone to understand like their own ideal body, which I always say it's not about looking like your 23-year-old self, your best friend, or your favorite celebrity. It's about how can you find like your unique, healthy, vibrant, radiant place for your constitution and lifestyle and age.
Mm-hmm.
And what my goal for everyone is to know where that is, and to understand that our body is going to be constantly changing, and to not have our emotional well-being rise and fall with the number on the scale.
Yeah, I love that, because we are, nothing is static in the human experience. And then it's funny because the ideas of beauty change over time. So it's like, well, what's healthy, right? It's like it's so
right, exactly,
in a way. And you've heard this, I'm sure, because you've been doing so much spiritual work, and that's so much a part of who you are and what you share. We all know that we choose our families, right, before we're born and our life. But we actually go through a process of choosing our physical body. Have you heard that? Or
I love that. I have, and I love that.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like a random process. Your soul,
right?
You know, they're sacred. I love what I do, numerology and astrology. And in numerology, one of the things we look at is the sacred geometry of numbers, because the shape of the number will actually dictate the experience and, you know, how it moves and the number's vibration. So when we're choosing our bodies, we're specifically choosing for our soul's purpose, our soul's incarnation. Like, this is the one you chose. Yeah, you did not choose that celebrity that you think looks perfect or whatever. You, for a reason. And there's a reason
right. They
chose theirs. And there's actually a lot of spiritual lessons that go along with choosing what seems like the perfect body, because even that has so many difficult lessons attached to it, because we do change and age and grow and expand and contract. And that's a lot of pressure for anyone, no matter what body you chose. It's like you have to accept change and perceived imperfections, because your body is absolutely perfect in your soul's divine design. And the more that, you know, people's bodies that they choose actually are have a consciousness of themselves. And so much of the weight issues or body image issues, we seem to think our bodies are very separate from us. I don't know, like it's like, oh, me and my body, we're like at odds or something. But it's a strange kind of thought process, because this is a sacred creation of yours, right? So have you found that in what you've been doing to help people, that this is something that you can have helped people connect with, that really being at one with your body? Have you noticed that people seem like separate from it or at odds in that way?
Yeah, well, the way it's interesting, because I find that it's kind of split. Like, some women feel like their bodies are separate and against them. And some women feel like their bodies are just like an inanimate object that's just like a thing that they need to mold.
High maintenance.
And then,
yeah.
Right. And then some women, I think, don't see the separateness, like, almost to a fault, if that makes sense. So,
no,
what
tell me,
I
no,
really
please
think,
explain that to me before you go on. So, what does that mean, they don't see it? Like, they are their weight,
like
that's
like their
whole identity?
Their
I see, like, that's their only identity.
Right,
practically.
Exactly.
Oh, I get it, okay.
And what I just think is so important to know is that our bodies have a soul, and our bodies are always working so hard to make us happy. So, you know, when we overeat, our bodies do, you know, their best jobs to digest that food and store all the toxins in our fat cells so that we don't get sick. You know, it's actually like
it's an act of service. It's like, hey, I'm helping you out.
Exactly. And so what happens is our body goes through these very long periods of acts of being of service to us. And then like 6 months will go by and we'll be like, ugh, you terrible, ugly thing. Why are you making me so miserable?
Oh, my
God. I can't believe you look this way. And so our poor bodies are like, Mom, I was just trying my best to.
I know.
And they just get so sad. And then we get sad, and then the bodies are like, I'm sad, I need a cookie, please.
It's a catch-22, because your body is sad because you are so mad at it, and then it wants to, it's craving that. And more punishment ensues.
Right, exactly. So I just think it's so important to just really be in relationship with our body, and to know that we need each other. And I think it's so great. One of my mentors, Jenna LaFlem, always says, treat your body like your daughter.
Oh, I love that so much.
And I love that, you know.
Yeah, I love that so much.